took Ross Cochran from the Cochran Show. Brand new baby Abby means he needs a lot of dough. He said I'm like the Shining Knights or Galahad. I just want to call you Dad.
It's like time.
I really want to call you Dad.
It's like a Fatal Attraction thing. You think that it's dead in the tub and then it stands up. This is David Hochberg's song about Ross. I buried it at the Tribune Tower when we left, and somehow it's crawled over here. To Wacker. Thank you, David Hochberg. Really helpful. We continue with National Adoption Month. Let It Be Us is a wonderful organization that helped lead my son and daughter-in-law into becoming foster parents. And they're just at the beginning of that trip, that journey. But if you go to letitbeus.org, you can find out everything you need to know, including a disturbing stat. Hello, son.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm fine. Thank you for being here.
Is he the disturbing stat?
Yeah, that was a strong transition.
And now more on that. More than 1,000 Illinois kids are in foster care awaiting adoption. I had no idea.
And that 1,000 number is who could be adopted, like, today. Like, parental rights have already been terminated. It's over 1,000 kids in the state of Illinois who, in theory, obviously it's a little bit more of a longer process, but are just ready to be adopted.
So it doesn't even answer or speak to the fact that there's many, many more in foster care who have been there or going to be there or just got there.
Yes.
All right. So there's a lot of questions people have about foster care. They'd like to help. They don't think they're up to helping. You guys went through the process. How big a deal is the training?
So our training was 39 hours.
39, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a week of work, right? And anybody who's had any kid before knows that you spend a lot more than 39 hours preparing for that child to show up. So they, and I guess the rules recently changed because they told us it was 27 hours previously, and they're like, now I know it's 39. And Laura and I were like, it's okay.
Yeah, it seems fair since you're taking a human life into your hands.
Yeah, and the training for us, we were able to do through the web. Definitely check with people who are a lot smarter than I am to figure out what you can still do now.
But you can split it up because people are going, well, I can't take time off from work. You can do it at night. You can do it on weekends.
They want, you know, there's 1,000 kids who need parents. So they're very accommodating. And the training itself, it's a lot of stuff about trauma. It's a lot of stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think about. And it's a lot. What really stood out to me was it spoke to a lot of the benefit of reuniting these kids with their families when it's safe and when it's appropriate. Because that's the goal. And kids are always better off when that's able to happen. And the literal rewiring of a kid's brain that you're able to do by showing them normal attachment, normal love, and giving them some stability that they hadn't had before.
So in the process of deciding to go ahead and do this, you probably have the same questions a lot of people who are listening now have. How do I know I can help a traumatized baby or a traumatized child? Is that part of the preparation that you go through? Obviously, they can't be prepared for everything, but
yeah.
You know, an older kid acting out or stuff like that.
Yeah. So, yes, that is definitely part of what the training walks you through. But the thing that I try to stress to people who ask me about it is there's 1,000 kids. Like, we're already in an emergency situation, right? I think a lot of people, particularly my generation, go like, oh, I want to help, but I don't know how. Like, there's so many different ways to get involved in foster care. Even, you know, I have a friend who was really interested in it, but they are on the road more often than they're home. So it probably doesn't make sense for them to become a foster parent. But they can support Let It Be Us. They can, you know, support foster parents that they know by offering some stability, by buying diapers, like whatever, you know, the way that you can step up in that.
Every bit matters.
Every little bit matters because these kids are in an emergency situation.
What's respite care?
So respite care, that was actually what my wife and I were able to do with our first foster.
Your wife would be Lauren, by the way.
Yes. Thank you for the reminder. Respite care for us, that's when there is a already stable case of a child who's in care, but they are either the most common situation is when they're going like out of the country, and for whatever reason, the case for that child, they're not allowed to travel.
So the hosting foster parents need help for a short period of time while they have to go out of the country.
So the difference between that and like a traditional placement is there's a very defined start and end time.
But it's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a huge need across the spectrum, probably around the country. And the nice part about, you know, respite care is that definitive end time because, you know, you can get a call that, hey, we have a baby, you know, could we drop them off at your house in 2 hours? And that kid could be with you literally for the rest of their life. Or an hour. Or a week, I should
say. So you took your baby was a baby.
Yeah.
So you and your wife both work and you have a daughter. So
how did you
juggle that personally?
Yeah.
People are looking into it, they want to know what do you do?
You
drop everything.
You
have. Yeah. That's
totally.
What I wonder, because usually two people in family work. How are they going to take care of a foster?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. So Lauren and I are really lucky to have really, really good childcare, and my dad. So we have really good family support, and that's really, really key. Family, friends, but also we knew it was going to be about a week. Wound up being about 10 days for us. You can do anything for a week. You know, I could be a runner for a week, and then I'd stop. So you can figure out, like, part of what I hope Lauren and I are able to do by being foster parents is to show people that, like, yes, it can sometimes be inconvenient, but you got to put yourself out there. You got to be able to try to help these kids, because they deserve it.
The world's greatest grandchild is Abigail Grace. I don't bring her up ever on the air.
No.
That's your daughter. Who
I
will
did
be...
take twice as long to vote because the person at the voting booth really wanted to talk to me about Abigail.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And your daughter's going to be three soon.
Yes.
She's exceptional, just ask me. But can you see any family with kids being able to build this into their lives on a short-term basis?
Absolutely. So Abigail was great. That's obviously a chief concern. And one of the things that I think not enough people talk about is a really common theme is that you try to maintain birth order if you can. So Abigail's three, so that's why we were interested in somebody who's younger than three. The idea being that Abigail gets to be the oldest. But to bring a foster kid into your home, that's obviously going to throw off some level of stability. But what your kid sees you do as they grow up, as they get older, particularly if you have older kids, you know, the people from Let It Be Us were there earlier and you talked to one of their children and they talked about how they got to see their parents like step up to help these kids.
Yeah,
your kids are
going
to understand that. Your kids are going to understand that you're reaching out, you're making yourself more uncomfortable to help these kids, and it makes the world bigger. You know, one of the things that I was most excited about with foster care for Abigail was that she's going to see that we're trying to make a difference in not just her own family, but a much bigger world.
Yeah, and a two or three-year-old, you know, you go, well, they're too little to understand. They're not too little to understand. Your mom and your dad are showing love towards this little baby, and that's certainly what came out of this.
Yeah, and she loved it. I mean, she was amazing with our placement.
More in a second, unless you're booked on another show.
Yeah, I am, but so okay. I can stay.
You can stay. Push it back a little.
Mm-hmm. Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Young Ross Cochran's here. He's always going to be 30 years younger than me, so I can still call him that.
Sure.
I'm talking about foster care. He and Lauren, his wife, my daughter-in-law, and the parents of Abigail Grace have taken on foster care as a part of their life. You're both busy.
Yeah.
Both have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
First-time parents and great parents, by the way. And thank you for that. Now that you've done this on a respite care basis, would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely. We're really
so
excited.
You're in.
Yeah. And the thing I should have said about the child care portion of it is the state is really good. There's a couple of different like daycare centers that are specifically licensed to take foster placements.
Uh-huh.
Your caseworker who, you know, walks you through that kind of stuff, they're going to walk you through that. And then the other thing that you can do when you're actually becoming licensed is you can identify people who would be your like main go-tos. So if you're somebody who has kids and has a nanny or has somebody who's regularly watching them, you can submit that person to a very limited background check. They get all cleared, and they're able to watch those kids as if they were.
Yeah, because you need a backup plan as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pops could have been on the list?
Yeah, no. So Grandma made it through, but Pops didn't make the background.
Yeah, he didn't make the background.
It's understandable. By the way, good for them.
You said earlier, you know, you talk about this being an emergency situation, and do you come on and tell your story? And this whole week, really, to talk about adoption and foster care is enlightening, but... But why are we not hearing more about this situation?
Yeah.
Why from the government standpoint, we mostly hear about tragedies. We hear about taking kids from bad parents or living in squalor, or we might, you know, make a headline in a newspaper. But we rarely hear about situations like this where we're in an emergency situation.
Totally.
We need the society to step up.
Yeah, I think there's two reasons for that. The best case scenario in foster care is reunification. Right. And that's not exactly that exciting of a story to have somebody be, you know, sent back with their family. But also these kids, like the most common feedback I get is somebody being like, oh, I can never do it. I get too attached. And it's like if you're that like that, you're the exact right person to be a foster parent because you should get attached because kids deserve attachment. They need attachment. And you get to show them, you know, for 10 days, for 2 months, 2 years, that attachment is something that they should get in their life. I think part of it is because people don't, the normalcy that comes with good situations doesn't make enough headlines.
Yeah. And they're scared to say goodbye, as you said. LetItBeUs.org is the website that we want you to go to look into this.
And you can donate money. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. So
secure website.
Yeah, if you can't
they're a great
actually take a kid.
And purely, I should say, just purely coincidental that they wound up being here, and they were the organization that like led down that.
Yeah. By the way, if you follow me on Twitter and send me a message or send an email to the show, in any way, get a hold of us with a question for Ross about this, I'll forward it to him. I don't have any of his contact information, but
But you know David Hochberg, and that way you can,
you can get through David Hochberg.
One of the stats you said, though, the 1,000 kids are ready to be adopted today. There are way more kids who need foster care that aren't ready to be adopted. Mm-hmm. That's just the kids that could be adopted today. There's a million kids that have a bad situation that need to get out of it for a while or maybe forever.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, like, the most common way somebody gets out of foster care is aging out. So they become 18, you know, somebody shakes their hand, and then they're off on their own.
Yeah, he's not kidding about that. That is such a depressing thing to learn, but this is part of the thing, too. And taking a foster kid in at, what, 15 or 16, you can change a kid's life at that age as well.
Absolutely. You can adopt an 18-year-old. And I think the thing that I want people to understand is that whatever you can do for these kids is going to be a big help, whether it's simply as donating to Let It Be Us, whether it's going to one of their events, whether it's sharing something that you see. Every little bit of it helps.
Before we run out of time, I want you to talk about something else here because I think it's important. And anything else that you want to cover before we say goodbye, because you're about to be kicked off the show.
Yeah.
The heroes at DCFS. Yeah. We hear the bad news about DCFS. We don't hear the good news about DCFS. I was really stunned, touched, whatever, to hear the story of the person that brought the baby to you guys and how impressed and moved you were about this person who is a hero every single day. So what do you want to say about them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they are, like, think about their job, right? Their job is to go into a situation that needs foster care, to take that child for that child's own protection, and then to try to literally bring that child to somebody who's stepped up to become a foster parent. So that's a hard job. But the whole system is built on brokenness, family brokenness. Nobody winds up in foster care accidentally. So I think this system gets a bad rap because people expect it to be perfect. You know, it's like trying to build something and all of the pieces and all of the tools that you were going to use to build it.
You can't think of a harder job.
Right. So, like, everybody, you know, needs to cut them a little slack when it takes, you know, a little bit to respond. But
and your experiences are really good at their jobs.
Yeah, and they are really good at their jobs. And this particular person that we had was fighting for the kid, was fighting for it's part of why our experience was so good is because we were able to trust that the child that we had in care was going into a better situation and had an advocate already in all the transition that was part of his life at that point.
Good for them, and God bless the work they're doing. It's letitbeus.org. All right, anything we missed that you really want to mention?
No, the thing I would say, just to reiterate, is if you reach out to the show, if you have questions, if you want to be interested and you want to talk to somebody, and, you know, not in a truncated version here, I would love to talk. It's my favorite thing to talk about.
Okay, as it should be. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here for this.
And you and Lauren are amazing.
Thanks.
So thanks for being amazing. And of course, you're Abigail Grace's parents, and I somehow think that you're benefiting from that mostly.
Yeah, you and Mom once said, you guys are like really good at this, talking about us parenting. And then you're like, I mean, we expected Lauren to be good at this, but like, you guys are really good at this.
It's a cool thing to see. Hey, Dave, is your son familiar with how this whole grandparent creation thing is?
That is not a conversation for Dave.
I believe he is. He's probably listening now on his Divvy bike.
Do you want me to talk to your daughter-in-law about this?
No, I think you've already done that, Steve.
No, you cannot.
Neither does Abigail, by the way.
Man.
All right, well, if Abigail doesn't want me to do it, I won't do it. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Love you.